Brother Tommy, it's so good to see you and your family, hear y'all sing over the blessing, be in services with y'all, amen? And God's been good to us, already been said tonight, amen? I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. I hope I'm called to preach, amen? All right, take your Bible, turn to the book of John, tonight if you would. John chapter number 3, probably the most familiar chapter in the Bible. I reached up and I told Brother Tommy, I said, Brother Tommy, I hate you to hear this message about 4 or 5 times. And he said, well, I just preach it to me. I said, well, I don't know if you've heard it 4 or 5 times. Brother Paul over there, I think every time I preach it, he's heard it, amen. He shows up at the wrong time, amen. But anyway, but I did try to ask the Lord what he wanted me to preach on tonight. The best I know, I guess if I'd have thought about where I was, I wouldn't have preached this, amen. Brother Paul lives right across the woods over there. And I really didn't realize when I came up here that I was going to be in his neck of the woods, amen. And thank God he's here tonight, amen. And y'all came back. Now, it's your fault tonight, amen. Some of y'all came last night, you never heard me, amen. But you came back tonight, now it's your fault, amen. So, but I enjoyed last night. I had a great, great service last night. And church was packed out last night. I praise the Lord for that. But this is a good crowd on Friday night. I never let the crowds affect me. Matter of fact, I get more nervous when it's big than when it's little. Amen. You got to understand, I pastor in St. Stephen. Amen. So I'm not used to big crowds. Amen. Our church runs about 100 if the weather's fair and ain't no clouds in the sky. Amen. And no threat of rain for 4 days. We might have 100 on Sunday. Amen. Or a good Sunday, 110. So I'm not used to big crowds. But I enjoy being with God's people. I found that verse over in the Bible the preacher quoted tonight. It said, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. Truth of the matter is, if you get the context of that verse, it's talking about a problem. It's not talking about having a little crowd and God being there. It's talking about when you're dealing with a problem. Matthew chapter 18 said, if you have a brother offended, said, take one, two. If he won't listen to that, go see him. Said, if he won't listen to that, take one or two back. Said, if you want to hear that, then it said, take it to the church. He said, for where two or three are gathered together, it's talking about a problem. God will meet with you on a problem with two or three. Hello. That's probably the best thing I'm going to say tonight. Amen. So I preached that one time. If God would show up for a problem, you reckon he'd show up if we praise him? God said, I promise you, if you got a problem and you get two or three people together, I'll come there and help you with that problem. And I turned around and said this, if God would come for two or three on a problem, you reckon he'd come for two or three praises? Yeah. Amen. So I just decided I'm going to go to church, problem, no problem. I'm just going to praise the Lord. Amen. I've tried to learn that. I hadn't always practiced that, but I'm trying to learn it. Amen. I've used that verse so many times having revivals. I mean, I've been pastoring one place 30 years, and I look out at the crowd, ain't nobody there but me and my wife almost. Hello. And I say, now, just remember this, church, where two or three are gathered. And I'm so discouraged, I had to say something, amen. I have really had revivals, Brother Paul, Brother Tom. I've had revivals. I've stood at the window, looked out the window and said, God, is anybody coming? Hello. Now, y'all ain't never been there. But and then a visitor would drive up. And I said, oh, God, don't let them come in. Ain't nobody here to hear them. Is anybody listening? Y'all think I'm putting on, but I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I've been in worse shape after revival than I was before I started it. Is anybody listening? Half mad at everybody that didn't show up? Is anybody? I vow and declare, they get back Sunday, I'm going to blow them out. God said, just let me handle it, son. Amen. And so I've learned a few things over the years. We may as well come to church. They ain't there, preach anyway. They ain't there, praise anyway. Amen. So I think this is a good crowd for Friday night myself. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad the Lord's here. Amen. So take your Bible if you already turned out John chapter number 3. Thank y'all for the nice motel and the wonderful gifts y'all given us. And we went out to supper tonight. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. We went to K&W. A preacher called me up one time. Now, dear God, I'm already excited. Amen. Preacher called me up one time and said, preacher, where would you like to eat? And I said, it really don't matter. I go anywhere. He said, how about if we take you to K&W? I said, fine. That's fine, man. I love it. Amen. And so he called his son up. And he said his son was going to meet us over there and eat with us. And he called his son up. And his son said, yeah, Dad, Mom, I'm coming. I'll be glad to eat with y'all. And the preacher said, where are you going? He said, we're going to K&W. He said, I probably won't be there. He said, why not? He said, the only people who go there has got canes and walkers. It's what it stands for, is what he told me. In other words, that's only where old people eat. Amen. Well, I was glad to be there tonight. Amen. Man, I had some fish. I'm telling you, it was absolutely out of this world. Praise the Lord. See, they closed K&W down where we live. So I was glad to get there. Amen. All right, John chapter number 3. Amen. Stand with me. Let's read the Bible. This is a great text in the Bible. It's been preached on and preached on. But I'm going to try my best tonight to preach on it with the Lord's help. I do really feel like you never can tell in the service what God wants to do. Amen. So I'm just trying to obey the Lord in this message tonight. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered, said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I want to preach on that thought tonight with the Lord's help. If I kind of looked at the crowd tonight, I might think I missed it. But you never know what might happen in this service tonight. So let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for letting us come to church tonight. Thank you for the good songs and our hearts being touched and fed from the good singing of the good songs of God. I bless you for music, God, that we can go to church and hear good music. To the Lord, lift our hearts to you. I pray now you'd help me as I preach tonight. I shall need a divine touch upon my physical being, emotionally and spiritually. Help us tonight to deliver the word of God. And I pray, Lord, should one come in tonight that does not know the Lord, never been born again, that God, you would arrest them tonight, bring them under conviction, and help them to see their great need of salvation. And may that night be that wonderful night that they get saved. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. In our church on Wednesday night, we are studying on the miracles of Jesus. And as I looked at some books I'm studying and reading behind, I understand. I know there's Jesus did a lot more than this, but the books that I'm reading says he did recorded miracles that Jesus did. Some 33, 34, 35 miracles that are recorded. Now, we know that the Lord did a lot more miracles than that. Matter of fact, over in this same gospel, the gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31, he said, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, the Lord recorded, or has recorded, some 33 or 34 miracles that Jesus did. Of those miracles, 8 of them are in the gospel of John. Now, I want to say this again, for fear that you understand in that the Lord did a lot more miracles than that. Matter of fact, Wednesday night we studied in the Gospel of Mark. And just in that one chapter, he performed 3 miracles. He delivered a man of demons. He delivered a woman of a disease. And he delivered a child from death. So in one chapter, he did 3 outstanding miracles that there looked like there was no hope, amen. But when the Lord got through, he gave hope, amen. I'm glad God's still doing that, amen. God is still doing miracles. I believe that. How do you know that? Well, you're here tonight. That's a miracle, amen. You're saved tonight. That's a miracle. But of the 33, 34 miracles that Jesus did, these miracles have a message. In other words, what Jesus did in that day that we're reading in this day, those miracles present a message. Or those miracles have a meaning, amen. And it's John chapter number, the Gospel of John, some miracles, they all pointed to some help we can get today. Such as, in John chapter number 2, he turned the water into wine. And that was a great disappointment at the wedding. The wine was to never run out, amen. But the Lord came by, and the Lord turned that water into wine, and he met the need of their disappointment. I'm glad tonight the Lord is still performing miracles of helping us in our disappointments, amen. You can always look to Jesus when you get disappointed, when you get discouraged, and he has a way of helping you through your disappointments, amen. And then in John chapter number 5, he helped that impotent man. He had a disability. But when the Lord got through with him, amen, he wasn't impotent anymore. Amen. And matter of fact, the impotent one met the omnipotent one. Amen. And the Lord performed a miracle in meeting his need of disability. I say to you tonight, I can testify to that, that God can help you miraculously in your disabilities. Hallelujah. Some of us here tonight have been sick before. Amen. Thought you wouldn't be able to get up and get going again. But the divine touch. Oh, this might be my message, amen. But the divine touch of God has you up and has you going again, amen. God can miraculously meet your disabilities, amen. I don't want to talk about myself. That's the only one I can relate to that know this story. I tell you, when I had a heart attack, the devil told me I'd never preach again. I mean, I got so discouraged, I got so down, I couldn't read my Bible. Brother Paul, you know this, and some of y'all others, I couldn't read my Bible, I couldn't pray. And I tell you, I sat in that recliner, and the devil told me, said, you'll never preach again, boy. I thank God he's a liar. God has met my disabilities, amen. I'm glad we have a miracle working God. Amen. Hey, he's able in John chapter number 6, he fed 5,000. I'm glad he's able to meet your desires. That miracle tells me it's not likely that I'm ever going to be in a place that there's going to be 20,000 people that I've got to feed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Y'all get my message? But God showed me in that miracle that he can meet my desires. Amen. God's still doing that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask of him. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Hey, in John chapter number 6, he walked on water. Hey, that tells me this. God can help you in your hour of despair. Sure. Yeah. Hey, those disciples were fearful. Amen. They thought they was going to sink. They thought they were going to drown. But the Lord came walking to them on the water. Somebody help me. Now I'm like the preacher. Somebody help me. Amen. But the Lord came in their hour of despair and helped them and delivered them. Yeah. Thank God he can help you in your hour of despair. Have you ever been there? Somebody help me now. You ever been when you didn't think you was going to make it? But God showed up. I'm glad God can help us in our hour of despair. Thank God for that. Amen. Hey, notice this in John chapter number 9. He healed a blind man. That tells me this. God can help you in your darkest hour. Praise God. I've seen it get dark a few times. Is anybody listening? I've seen it get when it looked like it was the sun wasn't going to shine no more. I'm not complaining. I'm just living in reality. My faith is not too big that I hadn't been where I didn't think I could see the sun shine again. Amen. Matter of fact, I was heading to Brother Tommy Cooks to preach. I tell you, last year, I was heading to Brother Tommy Cooks to preach. And I tell you, I got a phone call, and I had to call Brother Tommy. I couldn't go into a lot of detail. And I tell you, before that night was over, the darkest hour I've ever faced, I faced last year. And I thought the sun would never shine again. And I'm telling you, I'm still in it. I'm still in that trouble that I had that year. I'm still going through that darkness. Me and my wife and my family. And the devil has attacked in my family. And I tell you, last year has been the darkest hours of my Christian sojourn. But I'm glad, thank God, he's been there all the way. Hey, he's given me some light, a little bit of light to make it every day. Oh, I need y'all to help me now. I might not get to Nicodemus, amen. Hey, God is able to help you miraculously in your darkest hour. I tell you, you look sometimes and say, I don't think I can make it through this. Is anybody listening? But God can help you in your darkest hour. I tell you, in John 11, he got a dead man at the grave. Amen. Hey, I don't think we'll ever see God raise a dead man. But that miracle has a message. What is that message? Hey, thank God we can overcome death. Hallelujah. That's the last enemy. Amen. But God, hallelujah, is able to help us overcome death. Is anybody listening? Amen. Hey, notice John 21, they fished all night and caught nothing. Hey, but the Lord looked at him and said, cast your net on the right side. I tell you, God can help you in your deficiency. Is anybody listening? I preached that at the church, amen. One of the young men came to me after church. He said, preach on that last thought about deficiency. They were fishing. And he said, you can help them when you're deficient. I didn't even catch it, amen. I'm glad they was listening, amen. Hey, when you ain't got no fish, God can help you with your deficiency. Woo, glory. Hello, Tokyo. Is anybody listening? Hey, I'm glad he's able to help us. Hey, and these miracles, they have meanings. They have a message to them to help us make it. But here's what got me. In them books I read about those miracles, nobody lists John 3. Nobody talks about the miracle in John 3. Is anybody listening? The miracle of all miracles is to see somebody get born again. Hey, the greatest miracle that's ever happened in your life is when you got born again. That is the greatest miracle. And nobody lists that in the books I'm reading. Amen. They said there's 33, 34, 35 miracles recorded that he did, and they left that one out. Hey, if I believe, I believe this. Hey, if he can birth you into the family of God, he can do anything. Is anything too hard for God? Amen. Amen. Hey, I tell you this. I'm glad, thank God, he's able to birth anybody. He can deliver a man of demons in Mark 5. He can deliver a woman of disease 12 years. And he can call a child from the dead. Is there anything that he can't do? Oh, help me, Jesus. Hey, only God can do what we're talking about tonight is birth a man in the family of God. You've heard this. You preachers have said this. Whitfield preached that 1,000 times. The book I read said Whitfield preached 1,000 times. You must be born again. They said he preached it so much that they went to him and asked him, said, Mr. Whitfield, you're always preaching on you must be born again. Why do you always preach that? He said, because you got to be born again. Are you listening to me, church? May I say this tonight? I've been pastoring 30 years. I don't guess that's a long time, but I'll be honest with you. I've been saved 38 years. The longer I live, preachers, the more I understand this, that it is a supernatural miracle of God for somebody to get born again. I believe that more now when I started. Hey, it takes a supernatural miracle of God for a man to get born again. Amen and amen. We have a lot of reforms, amen, and rehabilitate, amen. But I tell you what, we ain't seen a lot get reborn. It takes a new birth to get you into the family of God. Except you have a new birth, you won't see the kingdom of God. You may start going to church. You may start dressing right. You may start doing a lot of good things. But I'm telling you, unless you've been born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. I believe that more than I ever do. I didn't ever disbelieve it. Amen. Miracles of grace are greater than miracles of glory. The miracles of God's grace is greater than the miracles of glory. Are you listening? Hey, the songwriter said it well. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Thank God that's true. Amen. I'm not trying to cough out on miracles. God's still doing them. I preach this to my church. God's still doing miracles. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Baptist. But God's still doing miracles. God's still healing people. Hey, matter of fact, my boy, my son, he's Philip is 37 years old. Philip went completely deaf in his left ear. And then he went back and he started losing half of his deaf in his right ear. And so he went to the doctor. And the doctors examined the medical university, ear and throat and nose doctor. They examined it. They said, all your hair is gone in your left ear. And said, your right ear is headed. Said, what you're headed for? You're headed to be deaf. And so they said, there's no mechanical device that we can put in your ear that's already gone. There's no mechanical device that we can put in there that will ever help you hear again. Well, preacher, we started praying. We ask God, God, my son is going deaf. He's a preacher. God, please don't let my son go deaf. And my wife got a hold of this verse in the Bible. She said, Jesus helped the deaf man that he put spittle and touched his ear and healed him. I don't know what y'all are going to think about this now. But she said, God, we have been to the medical doctors. We've been everywhere we know to get him help. She said, I'm going to try something natural. And we went to a natural doctor. And I don't know what y'all think about that right now. It don't matter. And the natural doctor said, I'm going to put him on a medicine. And I think if he'll take this medicine, it will restore his hearing. And so we put him on a natural medicine. We sent him back to the university. And when he got back to the university hooked him up to a hearing aid. And they said, I don't know why we're doing this, because there is nothing mechanical we can put in his ear to help him hear. But they stuck that hearing aid in his ear. And my son's eyes lit up. And he said, I can hear.
You said, well, it's a medical. You said it's some kind of, it wasn't a complete healing. Hey, dear God, if he could have, I don't care if he's got to wear a hornet around his head. Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
What's your point? I call it a miracle.
Yeah.
I said, God, work the miracle, amen.
Yeah.
I'm just simply saying, I believe in miracles, amen. Yeah. What are you trying to say? There's no greater miracle than a new birth. Amen. What Jesus was saying to Nicodemus says, if you want to understand a miracle, you got to become a miracle.
Amen.
You'll never understand a miracle if you aren't one. You know why I know God can work miracles? I am a miracle.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you about 38 years ago, God birthed me into the family of God. That was a miracle.
Yep.
Anybody listening?
Yep.
Hey, don't worry about hard preaching. It won't run people off. John chapter number 2, he went in there and tore up the temple. You said, I bet that run the crowd off. No, it run Nicodemus to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, John 2, he preached a hard message. John 3, Nicodemus said, I got to know more about you.
Yeah.
Amen and amen.
Yeah.
I was preaching the other night. Me and Brother Paul and some of us was talking. We've had a little spurt of people getting saved. I guess we've had about 4, 5, 6 people saved here recently. And I'm preaching out of that Mark chapter 5 about that maniac of Gadara. Y'all hold on. I'm going to preach everything I know tonight.
Oh.
I was preaching on that maniac of Gadara. He got delivered of demons. And we got some new converts in the church. And I got down to he was clothed and in his right mind. Amen. And put his clothes on. And I said, oh, God, here we go now. Y'all hang on. Amen. I got some new converts. They got saved out of the world. Amen. They don't wear no clothes. All they got is tattoos. And like Brother Paul would say, I said, y'all hang on now. We're fixing to go for a ride. And I was one of the devil saying, them new converts ain't going to take that. Y'all ever been there, brethren? So I just read back and said, when you get saved, you put your clothes on. And I began to talk about what putting your clothes on meant. They hung right in there, shook my hand in the back door, said, we liked it, preacher. I believe if you get saved, it won't get too hard for you. Just preach, amen. Hey, I can't tiptoe through the tulips. I ain't got my one gear. Just preach, amen. Dear God, I'm feeling like preaching tonight. I ain't telling you I am, but I'm feeling like it. I think the house is packed, amen. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you, listen to me, hard preaching won't run them off.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Hey, notice this. Here's my message. Here's my message. There's a reason for the new birth. What is that? What Jesus was telling Nicodemus is that he needed to be radically, completely, and eternally changed. The reason for the new birth. I was reading this book by Billy Graham. Hello. And Billy Graham said this. I just recently read it this year. Billy Graham said, after all my years of preaching, and I look back, I said, well, Billy Graham said, he's a North Carolina product. He come out of North Carolina. He didn't come out of South Carolina. Billy Graham said this. After all my years of preaching, I look back on my ministry, I'm convinced about 75% of my converts never got it. I'm talking about Mr. Billy Graham said that. That's not an independent, fundamental, premillennial Baptist said that. Mr. Billy Graham said, he said, after looking back over my ministry, I'm convinced about 75% of those that walked out didn't get it. Are you listening? Brother Paul, I'm telling you the truth. I don't take it for granted anybody. I'm not judging people. I don't take it for granted anymore. Anybody saved. We had a revival at our church, I think, last year. Amen. Maybe year before last. And Brother Ronnie Simpson was preaching, and one of our ladies, if I'd have said anybody in our church was saved, I'd say she's saved.
Yeah.
And she walked down the aisle crying, sobbing, went in the prayer room. They led her to the Lord. I said, well, it's revival spirit, emotions high. You know, next week she'll come back and say, man, preacher, I made a mistake. I just got emotionally involved. That does happen. Next week she come, I talked to her, me and my wife talked to her. I said, Sister Debbie, you just got caught up in the meat and the emotion. She said, no, preacher. She said, I've been battling that for years. I don't take it for granted nobody's saved. Hey, just because the crowd ain't as big as it was last night, hey, I'm not taking it for granted nobody's saved. I'm preaching like everybody's lost. I don't think everybody is, but I'm going to tell you what. I just started preaching, amen. Hey, you must be born again. I don't care if you teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, sing. I don't even care if you preach. Hey, you got to be born again. Amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, there's got to be a change, a reason for a new birth. Why? You're born into a natural world. The Bible said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now working through the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, in the desire of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath. You are sinner by your nature. Amen. Our very nature is sinful. That's why you got to have a new birth. You need a new birth so you can get a new nature. Amen and amen. Hey, I'll tell you the reason you need to get born again. We're born to the natural world. We're bound by a sinful world. The Bible said, hey, we're sinners by nature, but we're sinners by practice. Is anybody listening? Hey, a man's not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. Amen. Well, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, how bad he got to sin to be a sinner? Well, Adam and Eve took a piece of fruit. How about you got to sin to be a sinner, to go to hell, miss heaven? They took a piece of fruit. What big sin did they do? They took a piece of fruit. They wasn't committing adultery.
No, sir. Go ahead.
You know, we got it categorized. We got it in categories what's bad sin. Right. They wasn't committing adultery. There wasn't nobody to run around with. Is anybody listening? They took a piece of fruit and got us all in a jam.
That's right.
Is anybody listening? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say today tonight. Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, you're a sinner not because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner.
Right.
Do you know I didn't know this? Y'all knew this. I didn't know this. But studying, I found out a worm holding the apple is not an evidence that the worm is eating his way into the apple. It's an evidence that the worm is eating his way out of the apple.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you say, don't get that apple. It's got a hole in it. It's got worms. No, the one with the hole in it is pretty much proved he ain't in there. You better check the ones that don't have holes. I did not know that. The worm, the egg was laid in the blossom. The egg was laid in the heart of the apple. And the apple grew around it. And the worm ate his way out. He didn't eat his way in. Are you listening? I'll tell you where sin is. Sin's not outward. Sin is inward. That's why you got to get your heart right. Or there's a change. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, sin can be in your heart. It takes a little while to eat its way to the surface. The Bible says in Matthew 15, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemy. Hey, it comes out of your heart. Somebody said, oh, I got a bad habit. I cuss. No, you got a bad heart. I know preachers that cuss. Hello. You'll never tell me a preacher's right with God that cusses.
Right. Amen.
They'll cuss in the pulpit.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Right.
I told a man one time, I said, I'll tell you now, you can preach in my church, you can preach on anything, but don't cuss.
Amen.
I said, I tell my young people, don't cuss.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
You say, preacher, you get in trouble? Yeah, I got in trouble with the preacher.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Isn't that sad? You rebuke a preacher for cussing, he gets mad at you. Somebody help me now. Yeah, man. Hey, when I got saved, I quit cussing. And when I did cuss after I got saved, the Holy Ghost smote my heart and said, that's wrong. Praise God. Amen. I feel like preaching. Amen. You need a new birth. Why? Because you're born to a natural world, bound for a sinful world. The heart of every problem is the heart. Amen and amen. Reformation won't fix it. You can reform, you can come down here and make a deal with God, but that won't get you in the family of God. Amen and amen. Most people ain't trying to get born again, they're trying to get out of a fix.
That's right. You're right.
Hey, they got a divorce coming. I got to get right with God so I can keep my wife. I'll keep my husband. That won't save you. Amen. I got to get right. We deal with them prisoners and men getting out of prison and men on drugs and alcohol. They'll run to the altar. They're trying to get relief from their drug addiction. Amen. I think if you get saved, you get delivered of drugs.
Amen.
Amen. You can quit. Hey, you can quit drugging and still go to hell.
Right.
Amen. Amen. You got to be born again. My message tonight is you got to be born again. Amen. Amen. Reformation won't fix it. You need regeneration. You need to be regened. Amen. Hey, listen to this. You're bound by a sinful world, born to a natural world. You're blind to a spiritual world. Why are we required to have a new birth? You're blind to a spiritual world. He said in verse number 3, look in verse 3, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I looked up the word see, perceive it. He can't understand it. You know what they can't understand tonight, Pastor? They can't understand, like you've already said tonight, we're down here on a Friday night hooping and hollering about a Bible and singing, amen. They don't. They can't understand that. Why? Because they're blind to, spiritually. Yeah, amen. Hey, they're blind to a spiritual world. When a man tells you, I don't see it, he's telling you the truth. I don't understand it. I can't take it in. He's telling you the truth. Amen. Why? Because they are spiritually blind. See, Nicodemus was in confusion. He said, what do you mean now? I got to go the second time in my mother's womb? He was spiritually blind. Hey, I tell you, he's in confusion in John 3. You'll find Nicodemus in John 7, he's in conviction. But if you find him in John 19, he's in conversion. I believe John got saved. I believe Nicodemus got saved in John 19, not John 3. Why? He went down to get him off the cross. Him and Joseph of Arimathea. Hey, he had a tomb. Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb that he had purchased. Amen. And he was going to let Jesus borrow it for 3 days. Now, I've learned a lot of things, but I ain't never learned a tomb. Jesus said, I only need it 3 days, old boy. I'll get it back to you in 3 days. Amen. Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
I believe he got saved in John 19. Why? Because if you'll study on down to John chapter number 3, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He told Nicodemus that. And old Nicodemus walked down to the cross. He's on the cross. He had to get him off the cross. Hey, he walked down to the cross and looked up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I believe that's where he saw it. Hello. He looked up. He saw Jesus on the cross. He started getting him off the cross. You'll never tell me he got him off the cross without getting blood on him. Jesus was beat to a bloody pulp, and they had to take the nails out of his hands and the nails out of his feet. No doubt he got the blood on him. Without the shedding of blood, how applied, you'll never be saved. I believe he got saved in John 19. I wouldn't argue with you about it. But I believe he's confused in John 3. Hello, y'all help me. You was confused when God first dealt with you. You thought that you'd have to start living better. Amen. Maybe go to church. Amen. And all them's good things, but that won't save you. Is anybody listening? Amen. Nicodemus was rich. He was respected. He was religious. He was a ruler. But he had to be born again. We would have took Nicodemus in our church and been bragging everybody, what a good member we got. Rich. Number one, we've been bragging on how rich he was. Somebody tell me he's one of the third richest men in Israel. I mean, he had money. We put you on the deacon board. Loss. That's happened. Just because somebody's got some position in life that's impressive, hey, we make much of them. And I'm telling you, you'd have put a lost man, if you'd have put Nicodemus there, you'd put a lost man there. Hey, when I got saved in Cottesville Baptist Church, went back to Cottesville Baptist Church, the most moral man in our community, Mr. Ellison Cohn. This is what he told me. This was his testimony. He said, Alfred, you had a life-changing, radical, emotional move that night you say you got saved. He said, personally, I think you were saved when you was a young boy.
Wow.
I said, no, I didn't get saved when I was a young boy. He said, well, I think you got saved because I remember when you got baptized. He said, I think you got saved when you was 11 or 12. I said, well, I guess I was there when it happened. I ought to know. I mean, they almost had a deacon's meeting over me getting saved. I mean, the preacher told me, patted me on the back, said he got scared about it. Amen. The deacons come and told me I was confused. Amen. Then they come to me and told me, said, hey, that shouting in church and saying amen, we can't put up with that. I said, well, what, you want me to leave? They said, no, but don't rock the boat. I didn't rock it. I turned it over and got out. Amen. Praise God. And that man, Mr. Ellison Cohn, bless his dear heart, died with this testimony. I've always been a Christian. I grew up in church. I took part in church. I grew up, I become a Sunday school teacher. I become a deacon. I become the chairman of deacons. I become the adult Sunday school men's Sunday school class. He said, I've always been a Christian. He died with that testimony. It wasn't a more moral man in our community than Mr. Elson Cohn, but he died with the testimony. I've always been a Christian. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Just like you got here physically, the first time you had a birth, you're going to heaven on another birth.
Amen.
You may not know the day, you may not know the hour, but you ought to know something happened, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe you get saved, you'll know it. Amen. When that woman touched Jesus, when that woman touched Jesus, and Mark, I'm preaching that tonight. When she touched Jesus, my point was tonight. The Bible said, knowing. Hey, she said, knowing something happened. You can't get saved without knowing it.
Amen.
Hey, when somebody big as the devil moves out, you'll know it. When somebody big as God moves in, you'll know it. Amen. Now, you may have some problems doubting it, but you'll know when it happened. Amen. I'm simply saying to us tonight, Nicodemus was blind. Amen. Paul said to the church, he said, having their understanding darkened, they're alienated from the promises of God. When a lost man says he don't see it, he don't see it. Believe him. Amen. Number two, the reason for the new birth. Number two, the requirement for the new birth. To have a birth, you got to have two. You got to have a conception. In order to have a conception, you got to have two. You got to have a man and you got to have a woman. That's why I don't believe in Adam and Steve. Amen. It takes Adam and Eve to produce a child. Adam and Steve are trying to take your child. Amen. I'm preaching that everywhere I get a chance to preach that, because you never tell in our day who's sitting in the church.
You're right.
Adam and Steve ain't going to heaven. Adam and Eve saved. Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen and amen. We had a woman come to our church. She's one of them things, a him or shim, whatever they call them. And she walked in with her jeans on, and she walked in with her penny loafers on, and she had her blue blazer on. And she was all diked out like a man. And we have a happy lady in our church. Bless her heart, she can't come now due to sickness. But at that time, she's one of the happy ladies in our church. You know, she gets everybody up and going. And she walked up to him and at the handshaking time and said, "Oh, sir, we're so good to have you here." And she come over here to me and she said, "Brother Willis, I'm so glad he come." I said, "Sister Catherine, that ain't a he." She said, "It looked like one to me." I said, "Well, he ain't. She ain't." Is anybody listening? Well, hey, Adam and Steve don't have babies. Adam and Eve have babies. Hey, it takes two to have a conception. If that's true in the physical realm, that's true in the spiritual realm. It takes the Word of God, and it takes the Holy Ghost to birth somebody into the family of God. We got a lot of churches got word-only preaching. He said in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5, said, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." I want to tell you what it takes to have a birth. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We got a lot of churches got word-only preaching. Then we got some just got the Spirit. They don't preach the Word. They just get excited on the Spirit.
Right. Yeah, right.
Their emotions get high.
Right.
But you can't find them till next Sunday.
Right. Right.
I said this, emotion without devotion is a bunch of commotion.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know what we think revival is? We think revival is getting happy in the church service that night. Hey, if you get happy on Monday night, you'll be living it on Tuesday.
Amen.
Other than that, it's a bunch of commotion.
Go ahead.
Amen and amen.
Yep.
I'm just simply saying it took two. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I want to tell you something. It takes the preaching of this book, and then it takes the Holy Ghost drawing you to get you born into the family of God. Anything less than that ain't salvation, that church. Amen. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. I said that about this verse. Hey, it said the Word of God's our mother, being born again being born again by the Word of God, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible. I said about that verse, I said, my mama won't let me vote for Obama. My mama said in this book, I can't vote for Obama. Why? Hey, God would never let me vote for a man kill babies.
Go ahead. All right.
Go ahead.
Preach.
Amen. God would never let me vote for a man that believes that homosexuality is an alternate lifestyle. Amen. This book, hey, my mama, this book won't let me vote for Obama.
Amen.
Preacher, you done hit him twice since you've been here. Come to my church, I hit him every Sunday.
Yeah.
Amen. Somebody better hit him, amen. I'm talking about with the Word of God, amen. I simply say to us tonight that Nicodemus had an MI degree. He was a master of Israel. He needed a BA degree. He needed to be born again. Somebody help me, amen. We got more degrees. Hey, we got more degrees and less heat than I've ever seen. Sometimes I pull in the parking lot. I don't know how this happened. I ain't belittling people that did this. As a matter of fact, I'm humble. I pull that parking lot. They got Dr. Alfred Willis preaching. I punch my wife and I say, I said, Mama, they got doctor. I said, how does it feel to be married to a doctor? She said, they ain't helping me, amen. Somebody help me, amen. Dr. Wilson, Lord have mercy. I think when they call me that, they're playing, amen. My point is simply this. Hey, we have got more degrees and less heat. Amen. Hey, the old-time preachers, all they knew is get this book, rear back, preach. They didn't care about no degrees, amen. Oh, God, help us. I like the old-time way. That's why I like your pastor, amen. He believes in the old-time way, amen. Yeah, God, if it ain't moving, he wants it moving, friend. I like it. Thank God. Hey, you know why we got so much ice in the pulpit, in the pew? We got polar bears in the pulpit. Thank God you got a preacher that wants it moving, amen. I like it. I like it. I try to pump it up and say it. Okay. They call it Life Baptist Church. I tell our church sometimes, we misname this church. Ought to call it Dead Baptist. Go to service sometime, it's so dead. I said that. The church's name is Life Baptist. Live it up, amen. I know you can't do it in the flesh, but dear God, sometimes I'm guilty of trying. I know that. I'd rather have wildfire than no fire. Oh, y'all help me. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. This is my last night. It don't matter. Hey, the reason for the new birth, the requirement for the new birth, I'm through. The results of the new birth. What happens when you get born again? You get a new father. Amen. The Bible does not teach the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man. Hey, by physical creation, we may be related, but spiritually we're only brothers and sisters as we've been born again. Right. You would think a man of intellectual ability to be the governor of Alabama would know when he made this statement. You're only my brother or sister if you've been born again by the power of God. He made that statement. That's an intellect. He's the governor of Alabama. He ought to know you got to be politically correct. And he made that statement, and they challenged him, and he kind of backed down. I tell you, I wouldn't make it if I had to back down. He knew they was going to come get him, Brother Tommy. But I'll tell you this from this pulpit, you ain't my brother if you ain't born again. Amen. I'm simply saying, hey, we got to be born again to be brothers and sisters. He's the creator of all, but he's only the father of the twice born. Amen. You know what I found out? The happiest place in the hospital? Maternity ward. Are you listening? Every other floor, they're grieving. Somebody's sick. The only happy place in the hospital is the maternity ward. Why? People being birthed into the families. I said that to say this. Hadn't been born again, we receive the Father's nature. If you get the Father's nature, you start acting like your daddy.
Amen. Listen.
I mean, that's just pretty simple, isn't it? Hey, if you get your Father's nature, you go act like your Father. How's your Father? He's called holy. He had a son. They called him the Holy Son. He sent a Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a holy Bible. Amen. We're going to a holy city. Amen. Where did we ever lose out on holiness?
Go ahead.
Hey, I'm telling you, we're living more unholy than we've ever lived, and we got a holy Father, holy Son, holy Ghost, holy Bible, and going to a holy city.
Yeah.
And if it's preached on holiness, they call you a legalist. I'm so sick of that term. I call it preaching on sin. When did preaching on sin ever become a legalism?
You're right.
We're living the most sinful time all of us has ever faced. Somebody better preach on sin.
Go ahead.
Somebody better rear back for your children's sake and preach on sin. Amen. Amen and amen. It ain't pleasant. I can tell you, I pastored the church for 30 years. It's harder to preach on sin than it's ever been.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. We got a generation coming on that don't want to hear that kind of preaching.
You're right.
They don't change the Bible, though. And I got news for you. I'm a little bit farther down the road now. It don't matter. I'm just going to preach. I'm going to dance with the one who brung me. I started out preaching this way. I plan to end up preaching this way.
Amen.
Not to hurt people, but to help people.
Amen.
If I preach on sin, keep your son out of jail, you ought to thank me, not try to shoot me.
Amen.
If I'm trying to keep your daughter pure, you ought to say, preach, Rev, amen. Dear God, I feel like preaching right now. I'm trying to tell you, hey, thank God you got a preacher that'll preach, amen.
Amen.
I simply say, if you got your father's nature, you go act like your father. If you got your father's nature, you associate with the family. Oh, preacher, I'm saying, you knock on their door. come to the door, got dirty writing on a t-shirt, got a Budweiser in a hand, shacked up with a woman. Sir, can I invite you to church? Oh, I'm saved.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Yeah. Amen. I think it started in North Carolina and come south. Yeah. Anybody listening? Man, I'm telling you, you get saved, you going to be with the family of God.
Amen.
I ain't got a lot of confidence that people say to get saved and don't want to be around the family of God.
Right.
You got to beg them and pump them and prime them to come to church and be with the family. And hey, God's finished feeding the meals down here 3 times a week and you got to beg them to come eat.
Come
you don't have to beg a child of God. Dr. Sider said, if you got to beg them, forget them and go get another one.
Amen.
I heard him say it. He said, if you got to beg somebody to say they're saved to come to church, forget that crowd. They don't need to be encouraged. They need to be saved. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Amen. I ain't never had a problem with church since I got saved. Just come naturally. Amen. Why? I got the Father's nature. This is called the Father's house. Who wouldn't want to go to the Father's house? You're a child of God. Look like you want to go. I'm preaching to the crowd. I'm preaching to the crowd. They ain't here. Amen. I got a good habit of that.
Amen.
You said, preacher, we here. Don't get on somebody else.
Go ahead, preach. You're doing well.
Maybe they might give out CDs.
Yeah.
My opponent sent me this. When you get the Father's nature and you go act like the Father, you go associate with the family, you start appearing like the Father. Your appearance become like the Father. What is that? You ever heard this? You've said it. Well, he walks like his daddy. Look at him walking down the aisle. Like left from the back, he walks just like his daddy. Hey, when you get the Father's nature, you'll start walking like your father.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Listen at him talk. I can see Andy Wells getting the pulpit. I can see Andy Wells getting the pulpit and close my eyes and vow and declare his daddy's preaching.
That's exactly right.
Well, he talks like his daddy. He makes mannerisms like his daddy. I mean, I'm saying, that's Andy. I know that's Andy, but it looks like Brother Larry. I mean, same mannerism, same talk, close your eyes, you're bound to cry. Why? He talks like his daddy, amen. Hey, you get born again, you start talking like your daddy.
Amen.
Are you listening? I just said the thing, when you get the Father's nature, there'll be a change. If your religion hadn't changed you, you better change religion.
Amen.
What would be the result of new birth? There'll be a deep love for Christ.
Amen.
There'll be a definite witness of the Spirit. There'll be a desire for holiness. There'll be a distaste for the world.
Amen.
Amen. Church, can I say that? I hope this don't sound. God knows that the last thing I want to do is sound bragging. I'm just saying, when I got saved, I wasn't in this environment. I'm just telling you, Brother Paul, God told me things that preachers, I didn't even have preaching on. I mean, nobody had to tell me to quit going to the dances. Nobody had to tell me to get out the pool room. Nobody had to tell me. Immediately, God said, smoke and drone. Now, I'm telling you, I had to work on that. I didn't immediately quit. But I tell you, the whole time I was doing it, the Holy Ghost said, that's wrong. Amen. Y'all don't die on me now. You better back me up because I think you're smoking if you don't say amen. Is anybody listening? Best way to get with a preacher when he gets on your sin, say, preach on, Ray, preach on, Ray. He'll think you all right, amen. You'll have a distaste for the world. You'll love not the world. Amen. Hey, you get a new father, you get a new fortune. I want to tell you, when you get saved, you get a new fortune. He's exceedingly able to meet our needs. Amen and amen. The songwriter said it again, my father's rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Thank God when you got saved, you got a father who owns it all. Amen. Hey, I got entered in on the Father's fortune. Amen. Oh, you listen to me? Hey, we've only got the down payment. Amen. In whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. The word earnest means down payment. What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the down payment. It's the engagement ring. I ain't got it all yet. Think what? We're going to have a new body. When we get it all, we'll have to have a new body. Is anybody listening? Amen. I'm just simply saying I'm mighty happy about the down payment. Praise God. Amen. That means when you get saved, hey, you are heir and joint heir with Christ.
Amen.
All that the Father owns, you own. All the Son owns, you own. Praise God. I wouldn't get excited. Amen. You ain't going to hell. You're going to heaven. And everything He owns, you own. Why get excited? Amen and amen. Hey, notice this. I tell you this. When I got saved, God called me to preach. I was making $600 a week, and I started our church on $600 a month. Somebody said he did it for the money. Now that I've been doing it 30 years, here's what they say, Brother Paul. He's in it for the money. Anybody listening? No retirement. I do have a retirement plan. It's out of this world.
Amen.
Amen. No insurance. I have plenty of assurance.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, don't feel sorry for me. I'll tell you. I walked out to Charleston Membership, probably making $600 a week. They said, preacher, what the church going to pay? Woman, well, about 30 of us. I said, well, they said they could probably get $600 a month. They said, you'll starve to death. I said, hey, I'm a trust God. I was brave. I thought the same thing they thought. I just prayed. I said, oh, God, take care of me. I was wondering, is he going to take care of me? You know, sometimes we put up a good front. But I'm going to tell you what, God has never missed a lick.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise God. Shoes I wear, clothes I wear, car I drive, God took care of me. Thank God. Here's my point. When you get saved, you get a new father, you get a new fortune. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. I can't sing, but I sure enjoy it. God's going to take care of you. Amen and amen. There's been a few times the devil's lied to all of us, but he's going to take care of you. Amen. I'm through. When you get born again, you get a new future. Do you want? You know what the greatest thing about birth is that I can think of? Birth has no yesterdays. Everything about birth is future. Birth doesn't have a past. And some of y'all live like the devil. This ought to help you. When you got born again, you have no past. I've never seen the sheriff's department down in the maternity ward and they roll the baby out and the deputy sheriff say, you're under arrest.
Go ahead.
And if the baby could talk, he'd say, what for? He said, because of what you did in there. And if the baby could talk, he'd say, I didn't do nothing today. I just got here.
Right.
Why? Birth has no past. Everything about birth is future. Hey, when I go back to my hometown, the boys I used to run with, we used to do all that with God. They said, Alfred, you are preaching now. You remember when I said, oh, God, I remember. But God in heaven said, what sin are you talking about?
Amen.
I don't remember them anymore.
Amen.
Thank God when you get born again, you ain't got a past.
Right.
Ladies, when you got born again, all your past is gone. I'll tell you something else about it. That's why Reformation won't get it.
That's right.
Reformation is what you can do from here on in. What you can do about your past. Somebody said, I'm quitting all my bad habits. What about all you did before you quit? Reformation won't get it. You got a past. But when you get born again, you don't have a past. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I've been born again. Hey, I got a future. Amen. Hey, what if I fail? What if I fall? He'll pick you up and clean you up and get you on your way again. Listen to this. I've been a Willis all my life, not because I behave like a Willis. But I was born a Willis. Matter of fact, some of my bad behavior, when my daddy got through with me, reminded me I was a Willis. Amen. And if you get born again, you have a Father in heaven. And if you misbehave, He's going to take care of you. And if He don't take care of you, you probably ain't a child of God. Amen and amen. Who ever heard of a child being born physically twice? You get born one time. Hey, physically, you get born one time. Hey, spiritually, you get born one time. Amen, amen. I'm simply saying, hey, I have a bright future. I'm saved. I'm secure. Thank God I'm satisfied. Amen. I'm through. If you could ever get people to see, it's not your benevolence and charity. It's not your baptism certificate. It's not your belonging to the church. It's a birth. It's life. It's not a new leaf. It's a new life.
Amen.
You ain't turning over a new leaf. God ain't in the leaf business.
Right.
Matter of fact, Adam and Eve used leaves. God, when God got through, they didn't want them leaves anymore.
Right.
He put coats of skin on them.
Amen.
Matter of fact, He was going in, coming out of Jerusalem into the fig tree, had leaves, didn't have fruit. He cursed it. God's not in the leaf business. God's in the life business. And John says 36 times, life, life, life. John said you got to have life. Amen.
Right.
Amen. I'm through. I promise. Listen to this. Hey, I read this story. It's supposed to be a true story. Man and his wife went up into the mountains. They was riding around. It was autumn. And they was fixing to get on that, what is that thing in the mountains that you ride on? Parkway. They was going to get on the Parkway. And the wife looked over to the husband and said, honey, before you get on that Parkway now, the car is low on gas. There's no gas stations on the Parkway. And he said, well, I think we've got enough to ride. And so they got on the Parkway. She said, honey, before you get on there now, the gas hand's low. You ain't no gas stations on the Parkway. He said, we'd be all right. You know how men are. Amen. So he's riding through the mountain. The light come on. She looked over there. She saw the light on. She said, honey, I told you that you had low on gas. I told you you should have got gas. Oh, we'd be all right. We'd be all right. Then he got nervous. And so he rides a little bit more. And finally, he come around the curve, and there was a pull-off. You could pull off to an old mountain store. And he pulled up there, and there was an old mountain there sitting outside the store. And he pulled up there, and he had one of those old gas tanks, place to get gas. And he pulled up there, and he got out, and he filled his car up with gas, and he looked over at the mountain there to own the store. He said, man, he's happy now. He said, it's great to be alive. And the mountaineer looked at him and said, he said, ain't it great to be alive? The mountaineer said, I don't know. Said, I ain't never been nothing else. Could I tell you I have? I've been dead, and now I'm alive. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Now I'm alive in Christ. Are you listening to me? I want to tell you, it is great to be alive. Well, I know what it was to be dead, amen. But thank God now I ain't dead no more. I've been brought from death to life by the power of God, amen. Hey, I want to tell you, you got to have a birth. In order to have birth, you got to have a breeze. I wasn't going to preach that. Preacher, you got time for me to preach that? It takes a breeze. Notice what he said now. Notice what he said, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone born of the Spirit. You can't have a birth without a breeze. Now, I tell you this, and I'm through a promise. I didn't quit five times, but let me tell you this. The word wind, the word spirit, in the Greek, same word. He said the wind blows. That same word, there's the same word for spirit. It don't matter what the Greek says, but I'm just trying to say that's the same word. And I went to the library, and I walked in the library, Berkeley County Library, and I walked in, and I told the ladies, the young black lady sitting there, I said, ma'am, I want to get a book on the wind. She said, you want what? I said, I want to get a book on the wind. Do you have a book on the wind? And she said, why do you want that? And then she looked at me and she says, are you a reb? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm a preacher. She said, why do you want a book on the wind? I said, a wind in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. She said, dude, Jesus. So we went back there, and I'm telling you, Brother Paul, we found a book on the wind. And I took that book to my office. This is what the book said. And I'm telling you what the book said of Berkeley County. I don't know what y'all's book said up here in this county. I'm going to tell you what the Berkeley County book said. It said a wind, a breeze, you can feel it, but you can't see it. I said, dear God, I'll preach that. I'll tell you what else it said. It said a breeze is comfortable if you're hot, but it's uncomfortable if you're cold. That's what the Berkeley County book said. I said, I believe it's inspired. I believe it's an inspired book. He said, hey, yeah, if you're hot, it's comfortable, but if you're cold, hey, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah. You ever see somebody get in a service when the wind starts blowing and they ain't right with God? They ain't too cold. We hanging it on. They're saying, can I wear it? Where's the door? I'll tell you what else the book said. I'm through, amen. It says a wind causes pollination. It says if the wind don't blow, there'll be no pollination. Hey, the insects spreading pollen, that's not the main way pollen spreads. It's spread by the wind. It creates pollination. Pollination, I put this down, creates irritation. You ever seen somebody in the church service when the wind starts blowing? Old big grown men pull out their hands. What's happened to you, sir? I believe the wind's blowing. Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you what the wind does. It causes pollination, creates irritation, amen. But it brings fruitation. Hey, without the wind blowing, there'll be no fruit, amen. Glory to God, amen. Hey, notice this. They said this is what the book said. I about shouted on this. Usually, just about 99% of the time, wind always blows around water. It said because the water temperature and the land temperature is always changing. It said the wind is always blowing around water, especially King James water. Anybody listen? Amen. Pull out that old King James Bible and the wind will start blowing. Amen. Matter of fact, I read an article. R.A. Torrey said this many, many years ago. Listen to this, I promise you I'm true. If the wind should absolutely cease to blow for a single hour, most of life on earth would cease to be. Time and again, with the health reports of the different cities of the United States physicians, it is found the five healthiest cities in the United States were the five cities located on the Great Lakes. Listen to this now. Many have been surprised at that report that have visited those cities and found them far from being the most sanitary, but nevertheless, they were the most healthiest. The explanation is simply this. It is the wind blowing from the lakes has brought health and life to the city. And the wind blowing out of church will bring health and life to the church. Amen. Let the wind blow. There's something else I found about the wind. Hugo, 1989 of September, blew through St. Stephen. I tell you what, would you see me out there on that porch? 30 of us in the church. The wind, the storm hadn't even got there yet. The steeple went flying to the back of the woods. Can you see me saying, "Hey, Mr. Hugo, stop"? How do you still be getting me out of them woods? You can't stop the wind. Amen and amen. I said that to say this. Let the wind blow. Praise God. I hope he blows on your soul tonight. We've had them come to church. Y'all had them come to church. Hey, the wind blowing the service. Hey, they go. They get in the car. The wind's blowing in the car. Hello. They get home. They go in the house. The wind's blowing in the kitchen. Hello. They go get in the bed. And the wind blows them out the bed. And they get down and get saved. Hey, the wind just keeps on blowing. Amen. I hope he blows tonight. Maybe somebody tonight needs to get born again. Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the liberty to preach. I've enjoyed last night. I've enjoyed tonight. And I know, God, we've heard this message so many times. But Lord, remind us one more time that we must be born again. I hope nobody's here tonight on a profession that hasn't changed their life. God, maybe some young person tonight needs to come and give their life to Christ, get born again. Bless now. May the power of God be in the invitation. Help the preachers that comes, the singers as we sing. And God, may I pray you be honored in this invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pastor's going to come with your heads and eyes bowed and closed. The pastor's going to come. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I'm just not settled about that being born again. A time, a place, a change. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that tonight, we could pray for you. "Preacher, I'm just not settled about that. When I got saved, would you pray for me? Was there time? Was there a place? Was there a change? Preacher, I'm not settled. I'm not sure. Pray for me." Anybody like that tonight, lift your hand. Let us pray for you. Anybody, anywhere, anybody, anywhere. Father, help us now. We're fixing to sing. Help the pastor as he comes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.